All right, welcome back. It's the happy hour in 15 minutes. The Quinn and Chris. Yeah. You're not going anywhere, Scraby. Your weekend's on hold, pal.
I knew this was coming. I prepared for some stories down the stretch.
Yes, we are going till 6:15 today. That's when Sammy Levitt takes over for the Padre pregame show, the EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show. Among other things, Sammy Levitt will tell us that Logan Webb has a 1.91 career ERA against the Padres at Oracle Park. And so that is the challenge for the Friars tonight, needing victories with it all coming down to the nitty-gritty, as it were, Scrabe.
Yeah.
15 games left in this season.
There was a point in the season where we didn't know if the Padres would still be in it with 15 left. They were under 500.
Yeah, they were kind
almost
of,
to the All-Star break.
They kept bobbing up and down. They'd stick their head above water, then they'd sink down below again.
Yep.
Never to be seen again, we
never
would think.
Never to be seen.
But they managed to right the ship and get where they are. Do you want some score updates?
Sure.
How about Mets 6, Phillies nothing, top of the fifth?
Ugh.
How's that sound for you?
Like, how did the Mets? I thought we didn't even have to deal with
this. How does this sound for you? Braves 5, Dodgers nothing, top of the third.
That sounds good.
It does? No. The Braves are the team we're trying to hold off to get into the playoffs.
But you could also try and win the division.
Huh? So you're going to root for the Braves then this weekend?
Because I don't see the Braves with staying power.
Okay, Braves lead the die. There you go, though. Those are your scores. 6-0 okay. Mets, 5-0 Braves. As of now, not exactly a lot of help for the Padres. Diamondbacks play later against the Brew Crew.
Brew Crew.
And then the Padres later on this evening, late night baseball, take on the San Francisco Giants. Here is some of the news of the day. If you're just tuned in, Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, says, let's just wait before we tell Tua that he should or should not retire. Seems to make sense in the wake of his third concussion suffered in last night's game. There's really no update on his condition other than to say, yes, he did suffer concussion. He will not play in the next game. I think that is almost all but been announced. They play in week 3 at Seattle.
Oh, some people are putting it up in the air like he's got 11 days.
No, he's not going to play in that game. But he may be gone for a week or two. He could be gone for a month or two. He may never play again. It is possible. It depends a lot on what doctors say. It a lot depends a lot on what people in his family, people those around him say.
Like we just talked about it. These doctors have a very expensive decision for one person.
Explain it again if you didn't hear the big five. He's due how much money?
Let me see.
If the doctors say you have to retire.
So here it is.
Then the Dolphins owe him how much money?
So he just signed that big deal. The deal includes $167 million guaranteed for injury, $43 million of which has already been paid in 2024. If he's medically cleared to return to football but instead opts to retire, he forgoes the remaining $124 million guaranteed, barring a settlement with the team. If he's medically forced into retirement, he has the right to collect $124 million. So a doctor says, you can never play again, I'm not going to clear you.
That was a $124 million statement,
yes,
by that doctor.
I gotta think.
What doctor are you gonna listen to?
I gotta think.
Right?
I mean,
who's the official guy?
What's that? Who is that? The doctor in that movie? Any given James? Is it James Woods?
Oh, yeah. Get him in there.
Yeah. Is that the doctor that's going to be deciding whether Tua can play or not?
Is it Dr. Doolittle? Who actually gets the
Bradford Doolittle?
Whoever gets the ESPN writer.
Yes.
Does he get to decide whether Tua can play or not?
It's got to be like a independent neurologist, yeah, right?
I would think somebody very independent would have to determine that. But that is the state of affairs for Tua. But there is some other NFL news that is, I think, as probably more noteworthy, being your guy, Christian McCaffrey. If you're just tuned in, he's out again this Sunday, will not play, and the injured reserve list is now under consideration. Scraby's contacting all of his people in the know with the 49ers, some of whom say that's just being careful.
Yep.
Others who say, no, they're actually worried this could be longer term.
It's been an issue for him in the past. And Kyle Shanahan said earlier in the week, too, if that was a playoff game on Monday night, he would have paid.
That's what he said then, but...
But now we're looking at four games IR.
I kind of question that now. Because if he could have played Monday night, how are you already ruling him out for this game? Did he get worse this week? Just sitting around?
Maybe. He said Thursday was his worst day. Like, how could Thursday be your worst day? You've been past this.
Did his new bride give him some honeydews that caused more discomfort for the calf?
Possibly. We don't know.
All right. So that's big. Kenneth Walker, running back Seahawks. Doubtful and probably even a little more than that for the game Seattle against New England. So you may want to bench him. And the other guy that I just find this, you know, crazy, but Jordan Love has been yet to be ruled out for the Packers against the Colts. They're still holding out hope, Matt LaFleur is, that either we will believe his deceiving ways or maybe he really feels like Jordan Love can play. Jaden Reed, by the way, the other Packers, the budding superstar, was added to the injury report. Questionable now for that game.
Really?
Something to keep a little eye on.
Wow.
All right, so there's your NFL stuff. We gave you the baseball scoreboard update. We had J.D. Wicker on, San Diego State, to talk about the Aztecs' move to the Pac-12. Those are all of the big things that are going on. Padres, we gave you the scores, so we know what's at stake. Got to go out, probably win tonight, because otherwise you're going to lose ground to the Mets, lose ground to the Braves, who are both winning by at least 5 runs in their games. I want to get this story. Are we going to do a Tyler Wade, our Fire Friday interview with him, in the next segment?
Sure, sure.
And then what are we going to do? We're kind of up in the air. We can't really bring Sammy Levitt in because he's too busy.
Sure.
We're here for like another hour.
Yes, we are.
Do you have anything prepared?
Well, because I was joking before.
Adam thought it would be really funny if, since our show is extended tonight, that you host a couple segments as if it were the Chronicles and I be your guest.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It would be funny, but it's a lot of moving parts just to make funny. 10 minutes happen.
It would be funny. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits. Still save money on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how. T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, I'm going to go with this story because I've been looking forward to it for like an hour and a half. It's not a breaking news story. That's why I didn't do it.
Ooh, sorry, Chris.
Good idea by you, Scraby.
Yeah.
I just teased a really fun story, and I'm going to make you wait to hear it.
We have more time on the other side.
Scraby, learning how this radio business works.
Yeah.
Check traffics, he says, first. Then I'll tell you this pretty cool story that would really, really, really make you mad if you were on the wrong side of this. We'll explain when we come back after traffic. Scraby, I want to know, because during the show, here's a couple of little behind-the-scenes things. Here we are on YouTube for those that, we don't really promote it a lot anymore, but we should remind everybody that we're always on YouTube.
Hey, please follow or subscribe to the station and like our video stream.
Okay. Yeah, YouTube, hit the like button. That helps everybody involved. But yeah, you can watch us on YouTube. Look for Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, whatever it is. I know a lot of people still like to listen on the radio, feel much more comfortable.
Yeah.
But a lot of people really do like the YouTube. Here's one thing about the YouTube. When you watch on the YouTube, correct me if I'm wrong, Scraby.
What?
There's a chat stream
going along
with the video footage of us.
Correct.
I don't see any of this chat when I'm doing the show.
And I can't tell if I want you to or not.
Yeah, I don't, because I don't want to get distracted.
Like what you're probably about to say about me?
Yes, you get distracted. And the reason you get distracted is I don't want everybody to take this the wrong way and get mad at me. But some of you people write really, really dumb stuff on the chat.
Okay, dumb is not the word. Outlandish is
okay,
the word.
Okay, better word. Outlandish.
Because
some of the stuff is really crazy outlandish. And I wonder if they just write it to try to get everybody's attention. But it sure gets your attention.
Well,
Scraby gets so angry between commercial breaks. He's like, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's some people that will fight with me on the chat, and then I just give up.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that this person was wrong. I don't know if they're still on the chat, but they had a huge problem with the Aztecs taking the Pac-6 deal and saying it's just a minimal gain for the school, and it's,
okay,
it's a terrible deal.
So that's their opinion.
And so I was trying to go back and forth with this person, but they were convinced that this is a bad deal.
Right.
So I kind of got rid of that.
All right, so that's at least their opinion. But the last guy that you were telling me about wants Brent Rooker back, he wants Cal Quantrill back, he wants Josh Naylor back.
Let's give Buddy the time. All right. Something to discuss, Buddy says on
okay.
the chat.
This is Buddy chatting.
Brent Rooker, 2023, lists his stats, 30 home runs. 2024, 34 home runs so far. Worst trade by A.J. Preller or Josh Naylor, 2023, 308, 17 home runs. 2024 at All-Star break, whatever, I don't care. Cal Quantrill, 2021 for Mike Clevenger. Mike Clevenger on the injured list most of the time. Discuss amongst yourselves is what Buddy said.
Brent Rooker had two games with the Padres, 7 at-bats, struck out 4 times. Don't know what we really could have gleaned by that. He went to Kansas City. He had 25 at-bats. He had no home runs there. Had 4 hits, hit 160. Out of nowhere in 2023, he flourished with the A's. And 36 home runs this year is pretty good. I'll say that for Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
But it's revisionist history.
Yes,
he's gone.
He's gone.
He's not
and
here
at the
anymore.
Time, he
why
wasn't...
are we? Why should I be worried about people that aren't here anymore? Josh Naylor moved along. Dylan Cease. You can go all. This is what happens when you do these things.
You never bring up the people that
it's
are good
never
for
a
the...
dead even trade either. Wasn't it Waldron who came in the Cleveland trade, or
it
somebody
was.
Came
it
in
was.
The Cleveland trade that allowed us to get this guy or that guy or the other guy?
Waldron did come back in the player to be named later portion of that of a trade.
And Brent Rooker was selected. Well, let's see, Cam Gallagher. It was a bad trade. Whatever.
Brent
I mean,
Rooker
there's so
at
many
the
good
time.
So many good trades that AJ Preller's made. And so many bad ones. So there you go.
And I guess I don't
get upset. Thus is the life, I hate to tell you, of every general manager in baseball.
Yeah.
Don't know one that hasn't hit and missed on a bunch of them.
Yes, and I you have to also look at where the team was at during the time that they traded. Like Brent Rooker, who none of us thought Brent Rooker was going to be.
Terrible trade.
A 34 home run, 108 RBI guy.
36 home runs, 298 average.
And he doesn't get that playing time unless he finds his way to the A's.
True that. True.
So
that.
You never know what's going to happen.
Well, where? Okay, let me ask this: who? Where would you rather have Brent Rooker on this team instead of Solano, instead of Profar, instead of Merrill, instead of Tatis? Where would you rather have him? He's an outfielder, DH. So who would you rather? Where would he go? Would you rather have him instead of Arise? I'm just saying. There's all kinds of little things that go into this stuff. Everybody has to trade a bunch of people to get people. Some are good, some don't work. Right now, this Padre team is good. Why are we wasting time complaining about trades that didn't work out?
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I'd be much more inclined to do it if the season was kind of hanging in the balance.
It's not yet.
But it's not.
It's not. It's
not. At the moment.
And I like to go back and forth with people because I think people have good opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tell me that I'm wrong, I'm done. I'm out. Because if I'm going to listen to you and your stupid opinion and you're not going
to
take my stupid opinion, then I'm out. Langdon says, dumb is the right word, Chris.
Ah, thank you, Langdon. All right, here's my story of the day.
Oh, yes.
This is my story of the day. And I'm trying to be like, trying to look at this and not be mad. But let's just go back to the world of wagering stakes.
Stakes.
As you said earlier, stake is now a new word for betting.
It's a new, safer,
I have a stake
less
in the
scary
game.
Word.
Yes, I have a stake in the game. Last night, the University of South Alabama, Division I football team, I think they're in the Sun Belt Conference. We played them once down there with the Aztecs. Went all the way down to wherever that was in Alabama and played them. They played last night a Division II or whatever school, Northwestern State. And Scraby and I joked about it on our Daily Gamma yesterday. South Alabama was favored by 37 points. So I thought, all right, let's have fun with this. Then we decided, who cares? This doesn't mean anything. So we didn't even pick the game.
But then I looked.
Here's the deal. I'm sure a lot of people, being unable to stay away from the gamble, bet on this game last night. Final score of the game, South Alabama 87, Northwestern State 10. Say it again.
Yeah.
South Alabama 87, Northwestern State 10.
See, isn't this fun to talk about it? That's why I like these lopsided scores in the beginning of the year.
All right, here we go with the story that this is where this gets crazy, though. If you bet South Alabama and you gave 37 points, you won the bet by 6 touchdowns. You, the South Alabama bettor.
Yes.
You won the bet by 6 touchdowns. There was no way that you could lose that bet. Except for this. With the score 87-10, the onslaught was so bad that the coaches of both teams agreed to shorten the fourth quarter by 6 minutes. In doing that, it resulted in only 54 minutes of gameplay instead of 60.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being the key. College football sports books like DraftKings, BetMGM, FanDuel, others have house rules that state, and I quote, there must be 5 minutes or less of scheduled game time left for bets to have action. What the other words for that is, you have to play at least 55 minutes of a football game for it to be legit and count. If you only play 54 minutes, all wagers are void.
This is a scam.
Can you believe that? Can you imagine? Just if you bet South Alabama, let's say you bet $100,000. I don't know how much people bet on this stuff.
I bet $200,000 in South Alabama.
Oh, yes, you did. And you're up 87-10. And these coaches shorten the game by 6 minutes, and now the game is void. And it says it in the rules. I don't even think you can get Rocco to help you get your money here.
Oh, Rocco would get the money.
Oh, he wouldn't be happy about it, but I don't think he can get the money. It's the rules. I've never heard of that a game has to be a certain amount of time. Have you?
No.
Did you ever even think about it?
No, because
never thought about it
this
before.
This tells you exactly how much the odds are stacked against you, because every rule set up is to benefit the sports book.
Well, look, hey, on the other side, if you bet on Northwestern State and you took 37 points,
you still lost.
No, you didn't. They would have saved you. Your bet was void. All bets are made.
Yeah.
No matter what side you had. But South Alabama, according to the sports books, did not win that game by 77 points. The bet was void.
Katrina says, Rocco going to get them kneecaps.
That is a hang with them right there. Imagine having, you got the bet won, and the coach is short in the game. And who even knew that rule? Apparently now, earlier this season, when Arkansas played Arkansas Pine Bluff, they won 70-0. Teams decided to shorten that game by 10 minutes. So bet MGM DraftKings voided all bets in that game as well. Georgia beat Tennessee Tech 48-3. In that game, the coaches shortened the fourth quarter by 5 minutes, which made it exactly 55 minutes, which meant all of the bets were okay.
Yeah, this is a scam.
I'm going to tell you something,
this
man.
This is a scam.
The betting world has to get the message to coaches and officials around the country. If you're going to shorten a game because it's a blowout, you can only shorten it by 5 minutes. You shorten it by 6 minutes, you're voiding all of the wagers on the game.
I'm sure that's going to work.
I didn't say it was going to work or not. I'm saying that what if Rocco is sitting up in the crowd and he's lost this bet because he bet Northwestern State? All he has to do is go down on the field and tell the coaches, I'm going to break your kneecap if you don't shorten this game by 6 minutes. That's all you got to do. And they shorten the game by 6 minutes. The bet is void.
So Rocco is just like sitting in the stands with the bat.
Yeah.
I have the bat now.
You got the bat now.
So he's just like this in the stands. Like,
yeah. Better shorten this game by 6 minutes or else. That's it.
Hey, Rocco, put down that bat. Nope.
Not until you shorten the game by 6 minutes.
Exactly.
Because I'm not paying this wager. That's a weird. It's not weird, but it's something that I'm sure most people don't know. Who knew this?
There's got to be other rules that we don't know about.
Yeah.
That one day we'll find out about.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because you know this could happen to a game like that, and so you want to protect yourself.
I never thought about it, though. I would never think about a game that they shortened the game, and even so, 87-10, it wasn't going to change the outcome.
No.
Which is why they shortened the game in the first place.
So you should just win the bet. That is crazy.
Not according to the sports books. All the wagering is void because the game did not go 55 minutes. I don't know. Let that one sink in a little
bit. Should we be kind of happy this is in place?
No,
maybe. Kind of teaches the bettors to not bet?
Nothing's ever going to teach the bettors not to bet.
The stakers?
The stakers. They're going to bet. No matter what. Look, if you're betting on a South Alabama Northwestern State in the first place, what is that telling us about you to begin with?
Perfectly sane and controlled person.
Yes, sir. Perfectly in control of your actions 100% there.
I've met many people that bet on South Alabama.
I haven't, but I imagine if they're out there, they're not happy.
I haven't either, Chris.
They're not happy today. More Gwen and Chris coming up, including our Friar Friday interview with Tyler Wade. Stick around. All right, 5:38 is the time. Remember, we're here a little extra today, a little bonus, Gwen and Chris, till about 6:15. We're going to hear from Mike Schilt live, or not live, but just a few moments ago from San Francisco, get the latest on the state of affairs with the Padres from Mike Schilt. And then after that, we'll have our Friar Friday interview with Tyler Wade. And then right after 6 o'clock, we're going to tell you who is being rumored right now to take the place of the concussed and injured Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. Some of the names are kind of like, eh. Some of them are, meh. And one of them is like, no way. We'll tell you who's being rumored to be maybe going to Miami for Tua.
I also got to tell you about some fun stories as well.
We'll have some more stuff, too, at 6 o'clock. Yeah. But first up, a check of traffic. And then tell me what Mike Schilt had to say today in San Francisco, Scrabe.
Dylan going today. What are you looking for as he tries to get himself dialed in for your final stretch here?
Yeah, you know, when Dylan's good, he's on the plate. And he's good with a slider that's strike out of hand. Strike in the zone, strike under, strike a little, you know, maybe a little off with the slider. But when he's at the top of his fastball and his slider's on the plate or under the zone, pretty darn special.
He's obviously on this streak that he's been on, but it's kind of just who he is as a hitter playing out over a long stretch of time. What he does, like how much do you think is his skill set and how much of it is his approach? I think those are two separate things.
I think they're both married, but, you know, if the skill set, if you don't have that, then, you know, approach isn't going to matter as much, but the approach is clearly important. You know, had a guy, Gene Tennis, was our hitting instructor for a long time. Side note, Gino went to 7 World Series, won all of them, 4 as a player and 3 as a coach. And he would talk about, you know, good approach, good swing, elite hitter, and that's elite.
What's the latest with Kim as far as potential schedule for when he gets back to, you know, trying to ramp back up?
Yeah, he's going to get back on the field. Day off yesterday, day off and throwing the day before. So my understanding, he's going to play some catch today. I don't know if that's changed or not. So I'll hold my feet to the fire on that one. But we'll evaluate what he looks like today and how he throws and see how he's able to take that next step.
Is he kind of starting over with throwing, or is he going to get back to where he was pretty quickly?
He's starting over to a point. He's not on the field, so not throwing across. That part is starting over, but he's not starting from an absolute, like, you know, 60-foot progression. But, you know, he's he definitely has gone back a little bit in his throwing intensity.
All right. There you go, Mike Schilt. Guest appearances there by Mike Pomeranz, AJ Cazaville, and Dennis Lynn.
What about the song Barracuda?
I missed that. Okay. By Heart.
Oh, that's why I didn't want to say it, but I thought it was Heart.
It was Heart. Singer is Ann Wilson.
Okay.
Her sister Nancy Wilson, the great guitar player, lead guitar on Heart, or one of the lead guitars. And Nancy Wilson married to Cameron Crowe. There's all the Heart knowledge you'll ever need.
I had no idea what waters I was wading into when I brought up that.
Yes, you brought Heart up. By the way, Mike Schilt in that piece brought up the name of Gene Tennis. I don't know if you heard it.
I did.
Said he was in the World Series 7 times, 4 times as a player, 3 times as a coach, and won all 7 World Series. Gene Tennis was a coach in St. Louis. That's where Mike Schilt was referring to him from.
So he knows the history.
But here's the thing with Gene Tennis. Gene Tennis.
Wait, his name is Tennis, but he was a baseball?
T-E-N-A-C-E, Gene Tennis.
Oh, okay.
He's a catcher, first baseman. He got his first 3 World Series championships as a member of the Oakland A's, 72-3-4, and then picked up 1 more as a player, 3 more as a coach. Here's the thing about Gene Tennis that I find interesting. If you look at the career leaderboard for the San Diego Padres in hitting, number one, at bats, Tony Gwynn, total bases, Tony Gwynn, RBIs, Tony Gwynn, singles, Tony Gwynn, walks, Tony Gwynn, doubles, Tony Gwynn. You're getting the idea. Batting average, Tony Gwynn, games, Tony Gwynn, hits, Tony Gwynn, stolen bases, Tony Gwynn, right? It's all Tony Gwynn, except for one category. Well, home runs, Manny's there. But here's the one category that Tony's not number one. All-time on-base percentage for the Padres, Gene Tennis, .403. Tony Gwynn, second, .388. Tennis qualified. Yeah, he played for the Padres for a few years as a catcher.
Wow.
And had a .403 on base percentage. Used to draw a ton of walks. And he's the only, it's like the only category that you can call up where Tony's not on top in the Padre annals.
That is interesting because you would think with all the hitting he did, he would have a good on base percentage.
Who?
Tony Gwynn.
He does. He's second.
No, I know, but you would think he would be the best just because that's what he does.
Gene Tennis. Number one for the Padres on that one. All right.
Are we going to gloss over the fact that Ha-Seong Kim does not sound anywhere near ready to come back to this team?
It's a repeat. I mean, we can say the same thing we've been saying.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Let's gloss over.
Well, I'm not going to gloss over. I'm just going to say what I've been saying. Is the minute Xander Bogaerts moved to shortstop, to me, that was the end of the season for Ha-Seong Kim.
Yeah, true.
I don't think they'd move Xander there. With the idea that he would move back.
That's a good point.
And so that's why I'm reading between the lines, but I don't think they expect that old Ha-Seong Kim's going to be back.
Old Ha-Seong Kim.
Good old HSK.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're never going to get to chant Ha-Seong Kim in the Padre Petco Park ever again, unless you chant it when he plays on another team. I don't think he's coming back next year. I'd be surprised. I know yesterday I said I don't want to talk about next year because I'm more interested in what's going on now. So I'm being hypocritical. But he's just not somebody I'd pay $30 million or something to bring back.
No, I'm seeing like 5 years, $100 million.
Okay, well,
you're going to pay that guy $20 million a year?
No.
No.
I wouldn't. All right. Here's a guy that is not going to get that kind of money. But he'd love to hear you say that. But he has been a key guy for the Padres all year long. Whenever they've needed something from Tyler Wade, they've gotten it. He was our Tony and Mine's Friar Friday interview. And indeed, something we look forward to, of course, every single week here on Gwynn and Chris, our Friar Friday interview. And today, one of the real good guys, Tyler Wade, joins us from San Francisco. Padres getting ready to take on the Giants tonight, start a 3-game series. And Tyler, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how is this team? Take us a little bit behind the scenes and give us a little give us the pulse of this thing with 15 games to go. Is it a little different than earlier in the year?
Yeah, man, I'm great. Had a good off day yesterday. Beautiful day here in San Fran. Not too cold, which is always nice. But yeah, dude, the team's great, man. I feel like we've had the same vibe all year, which is very special and unique. And I think that's what makes this group super special and what makes us so dangerous is we come to the ballpark every single day with a new slate and we just try to focus on the day and win today. So yeah, man, vibes are great. Boys are buzzing. And yeah, we're just trying to finish strong.
Ty, I got to kind of feel everybody. Me and Ty pretty much talk every day, you know, whether it's a high buy or whether it's a deeper conversation. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the job you've done this year because it's not an easy job to do at the big league level. Just talk about your mindset a little bit, knowing that, you know, it may be a week and a half before you get a chance to start. It may be longer. Just talk about staying ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yeah, man, you know, Schiltze does a really good job of communicating along with the staff, with Espo and Barbs and Leap, and just everybody. They do a really good job of communicating, especially early in the year when we got Louie and Dono. They kind of just explained to the role. So then, with that being said, like, I was able to tailor my routine from playing every day and platooning to, all right, let me figure out how to be game ready every single day, regardless of the amount of time that's gone between starts or at bat. So I just I credit them, man, and I kind of told you, Tony, like, I've been doing this for a while now, and I've figured out routines that work for me, and I'm just trying to. The biggest thing I preach, man, is consistency. So if I can go in there and have my routine is harder than the game and then get out to the game and just try to slow things down, then I just go out there and compete and just trust my work.
Tyler Wade, he's been really, really a big plus, I think, in every way for the Padres this year. Joining us on our Friar Friday interview from San Francisco. Tyler, I want to go back to this time a year ago. I wasn't with you guys in Oakland, but I imagine, yeah, we're going through a little different vibe at the end of last season, yeah, with the A's. Come to the Padres. I don't want you to trash an organization that you've left behind, but how lucky do you feel to be playing at Petco Park in front of a sellout crowd every night and involved in a pennant race as opposed to a lame duck franchise right now that could be going to a minor league ballpark soon?
Yeah, man. I mean, you said it, but I mean, I'm extremely blessed to be here and playing for the Padres and playing, honestly, like I've been lucky enough to play for some pretty good organizations, you know, spending the majority of my career in New York and playing in front of those fans and then making the playoffs five times. And now coming here, man, it's he's special. It's coming out to Petco every single night and it's sold out crowd and just the energy from pitch one, man. So it's been a blessing for me. And being able to go to war with these guys every single day. And the best way I can explain it, man, it's just like, it feels like summer ball with the guys. And it's like our eighth year playing with each other and everyone's just out there playing for one another. And that's something special too, man. So I'm extremely lucky and fortunate. And I'm thankful for AJ and everybody with the Padres that wanted to bring me over here. So it's been great with that. And then, you know, with Oakland last year, man, like I said, I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, last year it wasn't ideal. Obviously, as a competitor, you want to put the best product out on the field and try to compete in the big leagues to make the playoffs. But you know, like I learned from last year, I truly believe me being able just to play a lot last year got me ready for this year, and it's contributed to a lot of my success this year and things I've gone through. And man, I like I said, man, everything's a lesson, and I'm just fortunate to be here now.
Tyler Wade joins us here on this Friar Friday. Many don't know he would have been an Aztec as if he didn't end up signing to be a pro. Talk a little bit about last year, because you and I have talked about this behind the scenes. You really feel like that experience, despite all of the chaos that kind of surrounded that organization over the past couple years, you feel like, you kind of hit on it, you feel like that kind of helped you get ready. How so? Going through last year, did that help you prepare for the roles that you've had to play this year?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say this, Steve, but like, I just felt like you're kind of naked there, man. Like, just don't really have help, so you kind of are just you're forced to do things on your own, right? So like, you know, just me being able to just figure things out, man. Like we talked about it earlier in the year, man. Like I went to a no stride last year just by pure coincidence of something that I felt, and no one told me to do that, just something that I felt, man. So you know, it's just, you know, like I think God's got his ways to putting you in situations that benefit you, and I just felt like that situation benefited me, and it brought me into this year, and I kind of just been rolling off what I learned last year and built off.
Tyler, how many gloves do you bring to the ballpark with you?
Man, I have like four, dude. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But, you know, it's like I said, man, that's also been one of the biggest blessings in my career, is being able to be athletic enough to play all these positions. So, yeah, I mean, man, if I need five, I can care less, man, or whatever helps the team.
Real quick, as a follow-up to that, you're a major league infielder, and, you know, you play next to this guy. We watch Manny Machado as fans, maybe, you know, media people. Tony watches it from a little different angle because he played in the big leagues. We didn't. But when somebody is that good at what they do, and I'm just talking about his play at third base, I mean, how do you couch it in your own mind? I mean, standing next to this guy, you can't watch him because you've got things to do and bases to cover. But,
yeah,
you know, what is the feeling in, you know, in your mind and everybody's watching Manny do what he does? Because it amazes all of us. I wonder if you guys have a similar feeling.
Yeah, it pisses me off. He makes it look so easy because it's not that easy. Like I'm telling you, there's plays where you can, if whether I'm on the bench or if I'm at short or second, wherever I'm at, like there's times where like you're sitting there, you're just watching, you don't have a base to cover, whatever you're doing, and you're like, that ball's down the line or that ball's in the hole. And sure enough, man, he's got it standing up on 2 feet and he's not even looking. And he just throws it from the ground and it's hitting Crony or whoever's at first in the chest, man. It's special, dude. It's something that I've seen from the opposing side. And now that I'm on it and I see it every single day, it's pretty special. And two, man, like, I don't think a lot of people see, I mean, Tony, you know, Chris, you know, like, he puts in a lot of work, man. That's just not, he's just out there, he's doing his thing, but he's putting in the work too, man. So
yeah.
Being able to see that day in and day out, man, it's special.
Tyler Wade joins us here, Friar Friday. And Tyler, we often, those of who have been in this game know about the dog days of August. Just talk about how the mindset changes once the calendar changes to September, especially when your ball club is in the thick of it as the Padres are. I know none of the aches and pains go away, but I would imagine once that calendar turns to September, there's just a different vibe about everything from that standpoint. Clearly this team is in a full sprint mode right now. Talk a little bit about that changeover, like once that calendar changes and the mindset that comes along with it.
Playoff baseball, man, is meaningful baseball. I feel like this is the time now where you get your mind ready for the pennant race, man, and going into the playoffs, man. But like I said, I kind of said this earlier, man, we talked about ourselves and like, hey, like, doesn't matter what month it is, what day it is, what day of the week, it's just, let's treat every single day like it's a playoff game, man. And that's something that's not easy to do, and it's a credit to these guys that every single day in and day out we've held each other accountable. And have been able to do that, man. And just focusing on each day, like not looking too far ahead and not looking in the past or the future, man. It's just staying present, and I think that's been a big part of our success.
Tyler, last thing, we appreciate the time as always. You talked about the brotherhood. You talked about the way this team gets along and goes to work every day together. When one of your guys, you know, one of the guys you go to work with every day, you know, gets sent to the minor leagues. I mean, Luis Camposano, I'm talking about. Waldron happened a month ago.
Yeah.
Where do you go on that? That is a tough one. I'm sure that almost every guy to a man on this team tried to talk to Camposano or has contacted him and, you know, roots for him to, you know, do whatever he's got to do to get back here. But this is part of the business. I'm sure you understand that. But how do you deal with it?
Man, it's tough, right? I mean, he's such a good dude, Waldy and Louis. So, man, it's tough, man, but I think everyone understands it. Like, it's part of the business side of things. Unfortunately, when you have options, it just sucks regardless of how you're doing or, you know, it's just like, I've been that guy for so many years. So I feel for them. But man, they know they're a big part of this and we need them going forward. So I think both of them are professional enough to, you know, like understand like what their role is and to do their thing. And they'll be back soon helping us in the playoffs. So I think everyone's kind of talked to them and made them feel at ease with the move. But, man, they're professionals, man. They're great people, and they understand how valuable they are to us.
Well, there's no question Tyler Wade has been valuable to the Padres, and I know he will continue to be moving forward. Tyler, we look forward to the last 15 games and whatever's after that. Thanks for everything you've given this this franchise and these fans this year. It's been fun, and we look forward to more good times.
Absolutely. Hopefully there's more coming from it. So thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, good having Tyler Wade. Take one more break. We, like I said, a little bonus. Gwen and Chris, about 15 minutes worth.
Bonus.
In that time, you're going to find out the quarterback's name who actually has me excited as a potential replacement, or so they're saying, for the concussed Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. No way that's going to happen. Is it, Scrabe?
I don't know.
I don't know, Jim.
I don't know, Jim.
Coming back in a minute.